person. And, you know, some of us, you know, I'm Noe's not naturally that totally friends with everybody in 2 seconds kind of person. But you know what? Let's try to become like that. Amen? Paul's setting us an example. So, 3 weeks. So point number one, here we go. Point number one, intimate relationships that form surprisingly quickly. Okay. Point number two is the one that Manny was noticing, right? Which is, he told them that whatever he did for the Thessalonians, it was not out of any sort of selfish, impure motives for money or to look good. He was there simply to serve that. That's the only reason he was there, is to help them become a Christian and to serve them, right? I never used flattery, didn't put on a mask, I wasn't fake, I wasn't trying to make myself into something I'm not, not looking for praise. So we need to be genuine with each other, right? His relationships were not about getting results, all right? Although they had results, right? So in our relationships, are we in it for what we can get out of it? All right, maybe to get a boyfriend or a girlfriend or to have our emotional needs met, for networking, to get a job, you know, so that we can have as much fun as possible. By the way, all those things, if they come, to God's glory. All right, but I think we should follow Paul's example here, is that he was forming relationships for the sake of those he was forming relationships with. Okay, point number three. Look at this. We got, 9 points, something like that? But they're each about 3 minutes long. So this is going to be a fairly short lesson, honestly. Okay, point number three. All right? That's at the very end. I read this thing, verse 7. Instead, we were like young children among you. Right? Like young children among you. So what do you think Paul was like? You think he was like throwing temper tantrums? Like poop in his diaper? What do you mean by innocent?
I mean, your child doesn't have any malicious intent.
Yeah, okay.
Even when they roughhouse, if they hurt the other child, you tell them, go say I'm sorry and give them a hug.
Uh-huh.
If they do that, you know, without griping about it,
What else? Like young children.
Yeah, I know that young children, they're always, like, they don't do the normal things. They're doing something always different.
Curiosity. Yeah. Children are real. They don't know how to fake you out.
Yeah.
They don't lie. You know, you ask them a question, they might start off that way. And then, are you sure? And then they just go ahead and
right.
Tell you the truth.
I think also for young kids, when they see their mom or dad coming to that door,
yeah,
after they go, it's weird.
Yeah, yeah. There's that innocence.
Same thing with Paul. He's like, whoa, the synagogue, let me go.
So what was Paul's relationship with the church in Thessalonica, just from an organizational perspective?
They were happy to see him.
He was the apostle. He was the head honcho. He was the guy that they should be respecting and, you know, yes, sir, or whatever. But he's like, he'd be kind of wrestling around on, I don't know if he wrestled with them.
That would be cool.
He was out there having fun. Right?
He didn't take himself seriously in that.
No, not really. So are you childlike in your relationships? By the way, point number one, I think I'm not very good at it at all, honestly. This able to form close, intimate, really affectionate kind of relationships easily. No. Point number two, I feel like I actually do pretty well. I don't know, but point number three, actually, I think I'm sort of good at being childlike sometimes, but I don't know. I think of Andres for this. And I think sometimes of Brianna or even Manny. Manny, for an old guy, he's kind of just having fun. I really like it when Manny and Sandy come out to our volleyball, you know, and they can easily say, you know, I hang out with these young people and stuff like that. So I think Manny's younger now than he was when he moved here. All right, open to forming new relationships, not pretentious, humble, teachable, vulnerable, willing to trust, able to bounce back when hurt. How are you doing in those qualities? And Paul could say to the Thessalonians, I was like a child among you. And the Thessalonians are saying, yeah, isn't that weird? He was. All right, but then, point number four, he was also like a mother, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 7 through 10. Just as, so right after saying, I was like a child among you, having fun, rolling around on the floor, open, not pretentious, humble, that kind of stuff. Says, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. That's Paul and Silas. Yes. Because we loved you so much, we're delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardships, how we worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. And he says, we were like children, but we were also like mothers. Which kind of mothers?
Nursing mother.
A nursing mother. Think about that. Right, there you go, nurturing. Right, making them feel loved. Making them feel accepted. Affectionate. Like a mama bear. Is a nursing mother biased?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah! It's like, you know, if, you know, the nursing, how about a bear, a mother bear, you know? Somebody goes after the kid, man, they're gonna go after him. So we need to take care of each other. Somebody outside the church is going after one of our brothers and sisters. We need to be like on that thing, not ripping them up with our claws or something like that.
Yeah.
But we need to be really watching out for each other. You know, when you got sick, your mom would take your temperature like every hour and give you, if you had the kind of mom that, you know, ideally you would have had, and taking your temperature and giving you, I don't know what the current thing they give, you know, whatever that kind of stuff. All right. Does a nursing mother give undeserved favor?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Cleaning up your messes? Yeah. Now, I'll be honest with you. Jan and I feel a lot of this. All right. Just, we got a bunch of baby Christians in the church. We're always cleaning up messes. But you know what? We need some other people to help us clean up the messes. That's why we're glad that Ken moved here. That's why we're glad that Sandy and Manny moved here. All right. Concerned about their well-being, willing to sacrifice personal comfort for your sake. Think about Jan. Does she do a good job on this? Do you think she wants to have all these people living in our house?
No.
Do you think we like having all... Sorry, Malcolm. Sorry, Malcolm. Sorry, Malcolm.
Thrill up.
All right. This is a church where your boo-boos are taken care of. And if you see some boo-boos, by the way, who was treating people like a nursing mother?
Paul was.
Paul and Silas. Right? Nurturing. Just when you see somebody hurting, you're over it like white on rice. This is a church where your boo-boos are taken care of, spiritual and otherwise. All right? So the two that came to mind for childlike qualities was Andres and Brianna. For this nurturing and taking care of, I think of Jan, obviously, but I also think of Zane. All right, and then point number five. All right, just let this challenge you. All right, this, hopefully you have all these qualities. Some you're going to have a lot more than others. That's why we have different people in the church. All right, point number 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Actually, I'm going to read Let me see. Yeah, I'm already in 2 through 10. Verse 8 says, so we care for you because we love you so much. We're delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. All right? So sharing our lives together. You know, yesterday we had Victor over, right? And we had this little financial, you know, finance 101 little seminar at our house, right, Saint?
Victor?
No.
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
Oh, you were there? Was Zane there?
No.
Oh, you and Garrick, yeah. And so we just had like this hour discussion about how to deal with finances. And talking about, you know, how to dress and how to take care of yourself and, you know, sharing our lives together, open about what's actually going on, talking about our marriage sometimes, maybe not every intimate detail about it, but, you know, talking about that kind of stuff, sharing about your family, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay? Sharing our lives together, our tragedies, our victories. That doesn't mean you have to be open about everything that ever happened to you to every person in the church. I'm not sure that I would even be healthy in every case. All right? You know what? When Paul left Thessalonica, the members there felt like they really knew this guy. They felt like they really knew him. Like he was their brother or their father. Or their son, depending on their stage in life. They cried together. They laughed together. If you go to Acts chapter 20, you see his relationship with Ephesian elders. And they were just sobbing in tears because they realized they'd never see Paul again. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 11 and 12. All right? So we've seen Paul had relationships with the Thessalonians like a child. Right? Mm-hmm. Then he said like a mother.
Yes.
Then here he says, verse 11 and 12, he says, let me see. Yeah, verse 11. Let me find it. There we go. For you know how we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. Now, do fathers deal with children exactly the same way that mothers deal with children?
No.
Now, I don't want to overdo the stereotypes because sometimes there's fathers who are more nurturing than the mothers. And sometimes there's mothers that are more stern than the fathers. But we all know what Paul meant by that, right? We know what he meant by saying we're like a mother among you, nurturing mother. I don't know any guys who nurse their babies. That'd be kind of weird. All right. So, although I don't want to overly stereotype the whole guy thing and the whole girl thing and all that, I think we know what Paul's talking about here. So, all right, he said, dealt with you, each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. You know, sometimes in the family of God, you need a mother. But sometimes you need a father. All right? And we need to be prepared to take on both of those roles. So how does a father deal with a child? Well, you know, being straightforward, being willing to set boundaries, really being willing to hold people to those boundaries, if they're willing to be held to them. It's not like, you know, Malcolm is Josh's father, not literally. So he can't hold Josh accountable to a boundary in quite the same way that Josh's father could. But like a father, right? Like a father. Willing to call people out. We had a discussion about calling people out. There's a certain church that we know about. It seems like that's all they ever do is call people out, right? You know? They're like fathers all the time, but they're never like mothers. And they're certainly never like children. That's not good. But there's a time when the qualities of a father is exactly what we need around here. All right? For me, I'm a conflict avoider, so I don't like calling people out. How about you? I don't like setting boundaries. I'd much rather say, hey, whatever, you know, it's cool. I mean, yeah, it's my advice. So, like a father, willing to set boundaries, when it's tough, things are tough, they stand strong, willing to call people out for doing wrong. Those who are attacking the church, those who are hurting the church, those who are causing division in the church, they're willing to just flat out, you get out of here and don't you ever come back. All right? Not that necessarily, you know, Noe has that responsibility in every case, but maybe, possibly, with some advice. All right? So, if we're imitating Paul here and having this kind of relationship that he had with the Thessalonians, we're going to call each other higher in our relationship with God. We're going to call each other higher in our Christian character. We'll defend each other from spiritual enemies. We will not let sin go without being confronted in a loving way. So Paul was like a father to the Thessalonians. I think of Michael as having these qualities. You know, Michael's a no-nonsense guy. And when he sees it, he calls it like it is. And amongst the women, actually, I think of Moriana, actually. This one can, even though she's not a disciple yet. She's calls it like it is. I appreciate that. And I've tried to take that role here, but I'm still working on it. It's not one of my strengths. Do you have a comment or point?
No, scratch it.
Yeah. All right. Next, you can see all my points. See, I'm on point number 7. We're going to actually end early tonight. Wow.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah. All right. 1 Thessalonians 2:13-16. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people, in other words, from the Jews. The same things those churches suffered from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. And honestly, I don't see a lot about relationships in this little section, but I'm reading the whole through thing. So the only thing I saw about that is they were willing to preach the word to each other. They got the scriptures out there. When they're talking, flat out, they're using the Bible. Oh, thank you for helping the old guy. You know, no, you got to go around. I got it. Thank you, though. If it had been last week, I probably would have waited for you to come over here.
You're like, go on then.
All right. You know, they were a Bible-based church. And when people said something, stated their opinion, they'd ask, hey, you got a scripture for that? Just saying. They were a Bible-based church, but they were a Jesus-based church. Now, neither the Jews in Thessalonica nor the Gentiles really appreciated this part, but they were not intimidated. Paul kept on preaching the word. All right? And just like Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:1-5, we're going to keep preaching in season and out, and people are not going to want to hear it. They're going to want to have us itch their ears, but Paul didn't do that. Point number 8 out of 9 points, 1 Thessalonians 2:17-3:5. And this, to me, this is a really important point about the relationship between Paul and the Thessalonians. Because remember, just over 3 weeks probably he was with them. And he could write this letter to them. And they would read it and they would go, yeah, imagine that. All right. But brothers and sisters, when we are orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person but not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way, for what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our joy and our glory. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted and turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. So what do you see about Paul's relationship with the Thessalonians here? How many churches had he been visiting?
A bunch, dozens.
A lot. Okay, I'm going to give an example. Now, Malcolm, you're totally off the hook. Okay? Ken, you're off the hook. Probably Josh is, too. Noe and Kevin and Zane, how often have you contacted Malario since he left?
Twice.
That's good. That's pretty good. Okay? I'm not calling you out, okay? I'm really not. This is for you to think about.
Okay.
Yeah, I apologize. That was not my intention. Honestly. All right? But, you know, anyway, if somebody did or did not call Malera, that's not necessarily the deciding thing. But do we really care about each other? All right? And to my shame, like I said, I was there in Milwaukee for 7 years, and I honestly didn't form a single relationship like that. Isn't that sad? Isn't that terrible? I decided not to do that. There's people that I call. We left San Diego 6.5. Yes, 6 years ago. There's guys I call all the time. They never call me, but I call. I'm just kidding. All right? I call them all the time. And I just go, I got my list, you know, and I just start calling people. I just talk to them. Okay? And notice he said, I felt like an orphan. How does an orphan feel? They feel like abandoned. That's how he felt about the Thessalonians. And how long was he with them? 3 or 4 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. It's hard to say for sure it was only 3 weeks, but it certainly wasn't very long. That's the kind of relationship he had. That's a pretty high calling. All right? And he said, I long to come back. And he did. He made a lot of efforts. And by the way, to go from Corinth to Thessalonica, I mean, today you probably just take the highway and be there in 6 hours or whatever, but it would take probably a couple weeks or something like that to get there. All right. He says, look at verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we'll glory? It's you. Yeah. And that's, when you help somebody become a Christian, it's like that.
Yeah.
When you help somebody become a Christian, it's like, you know, I see Josh, I see Kevin, I see Noe, I kind of go, wow, that's so awesome. I mean, Kevin, your life is going in a different direction if we'd never met you. Noe, probably even more. Right? Because Kevin was already kind of trying to, he was kind of trying to do a thing already. But still. You know? And, you know, I hope like 5-10 years from now that we still are trying to keep in touch with each other. Not to lay a guilt trip on you. You don't have to have a close relationship with everybody. You know what I'm saying? All right? I want us to have those kinds of relationships, though. All right? To Paul, leaving Thessalonica was like being orphaned. You know, Jan and I feel that when we came up here, when we left Bakersfield, it was tough. And similarly, I call people in Bakersfield all the time. They don't call me very often, honestly. But I call them all the time. All the time. Yeah. If you're close to them, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the kind of friendship.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter who calls who. You know, it's like if you pick up right where you left off.
Yeah.
That's what I have to learn from myself.
Yeah. So I got a call just yesterday from Blaine. We're at the table, we're at the dinner table. Blaine from, he called me just asking me advice on something. Mm. I want us to have those relationships because, you know, that's how they'll know we're disciples, by our love for each other. But it needs to be real.
Yeah.
It needs to be real. And not every friendship you make in the church is going to be a lasting friendship. Not half of them, not even a quarter of them. You know? You can't be close friends with everybody. That's ridiculous.
True.
But we need to form close relationships. Yeah, Paul had an intense longing to be with them. He had a deep abiding connection with them. And what kind of ministry produces this? One in which we share life's greatest moments together. I remember meeting Malero on campus. I remember baptizing Josh. I remember Jan studying with Stephanie. I remember getting out on campus and it was just Zane and me, you know. Now we had Monica, I guess, you know.
Yeah, Monica was good.
Paul was proud of the Thessalonians. He was proud of them. And I feel that way about you guys right here. I'm proud of you. Yeah, Paul, he couldn't take the 2 weeks to get minimum to come visit them, so he sent Timothy's right-hand guy. All right? Last point. 1 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 10. But Timothy has just now come to us from you, and he's brought good news about your faith and love. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. So therefore, when I call my friend Mike or Leo or these people in Bakersfield and they hadn't called me, it's okay. It's cool. It's all right, honestly. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we are really live. Look at that. For now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is still lacking in your faith. And so point number 9 is great memories. Great memories together. And I remember hiking the Pinnacles. That was so awesome. That was so amazing. And none of us will ever forget Daisy. I mean, 20, 30 years from now, she was here for 6 months. She will be special. And it's because that's who Daisy is. But we need to be kind of like her. You know what I'm saying? I remember having it snow at our spring retreat. That was kind of crazy. I remember pumpkin carving and getting smashed in the face with a volleyball by...
Who was that?
Sorry.
Somebody. Yeah, so I plan on looking back at many pleasant, fond memories of, you know, mountain climbing. That's why I try to make sure we do crazy stuff together. I try to make sure we do fun stuff together. I think it's really important. I really think it's important. Some of you do all the fun stuff, and some of you, I don't have time for the fun stuff. All right. Well, the fun stuff is important because that's how we develop those kind of friendships. You know, sometimes we get tired, but you know, we'll be encouraged. And I just love what he says here. Let me see. He says, for now we really live. And so Timothy came back, and what did Timothy tell him that got Paul so encouraged? What did Timothy tell him? That they had fond memories of him. Because he had fond memories of them. And they had fond memories of him. So I want us to have those kinds of relationships. Amen? So to summarize, relationships with pure, unselfish motives. Sometimes, but not always. Zane, not always, just sometimes. Like children among each other.
Yeah.
Sometimes like mothers. Yeah. Not always. Sometimes like fathers. You know? Deep emotional connection. Great memories together. All right. That's our lesson. Should we... have our tradition, form two little circles. I don't have any questions. Maybe talk about these things. Sure. Let's do it. 4-4. 8 divided by 2 is 4.